Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how you doing?
Doing all right. Yeah, it's. I feel like just one week at a time, just the to-do list is getting a little bit shorter around the new house and just around everything else. So I'm getting a little bit of sanity back, but still a bit of work to go, but feeling good about things. How about things on your end? How's everything looking?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Kids are off school for 2 weeks, so kind of playing the dance of like hang out in the morning, work afternoons and evenings, kind of to get some more time with them, which is cool. Taking a trip next week, so that's all good. On the work front, I think the biggest update for me is our two AEs are really like firing on all cylinders now. You know, for being 2 months in, like doing really well, and it's cool. And now, kind of like, I think we talked about like optimizing a channel. Like we've just started this channel, and how like there's a lot of optimization that can happen there, and it's exciting. It's exciting, like the growth that we're seeing, and just kind of saying to ourselves like, how can we just do a bunch more of it? And it's cool because the cool thing about sales for me is like it's sales and marketing, like they live together, and so like you can't talk about one without the other. And so it's cool to see like the coordination between those two, and like Sam really lives in both worlds really naturally. So that's really cool.
So you're already seeing, are you seeing noticeable growth from it, or is it just you're seeing the path to getting there? How is that all?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot more growth than we've ever had. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. And I think that it just says like, we're just scratching the surface, you know, with this thing. What if, you know, we unlock paid acquisition? What if, you know, a new kind of content or partnership channel works out? And so trying to live in both worlds of like implementation and actually like helping them be successful, and then taking a step back and saying like, okay, what kind of reps do we need to put in now to where in February they're really kicking ass? Because a lot of that stuff just takes a lot of time, especially on the enterprise level.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're thinking we're in a spot where it's somewhat similar, different process, but where we're seeing the potential and trying to go deeper. I know I've talked a little bit about partnerships, and there's one that's in the works now that we're really excited about. And it's figuring out, okay, we've had success with partnerships. It hasn't moved the needle, but we don't think that's because of any inherent, like that there's a flaw in partnerships. I think it's more, we haven't had the bandwidth to make them succeed. And now as we try to clear up on priorities a bit, that is something we're going to focus on, is just doing what we can to really work with the partners to better sell us, but ultimately to better serve their customers. I think this is something that our tools will help their customers, but there's a lot that goes with it because we don't work in the same way other tools they might be used to doing. And that goes not just for the customers, but also for their personalities, their experts who are on the podcast and all this and that. Like, they need to understand how the tools work. They need to be using them in order to better promote them. So there's a lot there, but we're going to be digging into that a good amount. And ultimately, what has been running through my head recently is just the need to just be deliberate about what we're doing in all areas of the business. And I know that sounds obvious, but yeah, as I was looking over at some hiring, I realized that our burn was a bit higher than I had thought, and it's still manageable, but it just is something I need to keep an eye on as we go into the slower part of the year. And basketball just started. That's been good to us, but there's not going to be another new sport until baseball in 5-6 months. So we can't count on the seasonality to benefit us here. And I just want to make sure that we start being more deliberate about what can we do to influence this in the middle of those periods. And so what I noticed was that for us on the redesign, that went out a couple months ago pretty much. And we just got into a routine of, oh, okay, there's a few tweaks we need to make here. There's some bugs that come up on the development side where we weren't being strategic. In the beginning, there were bugs that needed to get fixed. There were little things that we did need to add. But the last few weeks, especially, I think we've had diminishing returns there. And it's been trying to figure out, okay, what on the product side of things can we do? We know on the marketing side, I want to work with the partners closer. That's a big focus. We know we want to grow YouTube. That's a big focus. But on the product, what can we do to really get a return on that time spent there? Because I know that's a lot of what I talked about in marketing, is just so many marketing activities. I don't see how they could have an ROI. and we still spend a lot, like everyone spends a lot of time on those things. And I don't think about that as much on development, but that is the reality there, is that, okay, adding these small things, does that move the needle? Sure, if you keep making little progress here and there, it's going to add up to something. But if you're already at a pretty good spot, I think there are quickly diminishing returns. So yeah, we've just been doing a lot of thinking about what can we do on the product that will actually move the needle. And so that's kind of where we're, what we're going through now.
We're having a similar discussion right now internally. I actually just kind of promoted Francois, the guy who is our designer, to the title of head of product. And the goal of it being to achieve what you're talking about, to say, like, we have inputs on product from so many different directions. We have customer suggestion board that's powered by feature upvote, this tool. We have, you know, customer support requests. We have WordPress.org. We have what I think. We have what Matt and Kim think, you know, and the developers, what they want to do to refactor and update things. And there's like no process for scoring this kind of stuff and getting it into like a system so that the right things bubble up to the top. I did a podcast interview for Rogue Startups with a guy who recommended this like framework that Intercom uses called RICE. And I forget what R-I-C-E stands for, but we'll link to it in the show notes. Basically, like, it's just a framework for saying like, how much impact does this have on the business? How hard is it? What's the probability of the impact? That kind of thing. It's a lot like you and I probably do for marketing stuff, right? Like, hey, I can do this integration with this, you know, tool over here. It would be, or, you know, guest post swap. It would be pretty easy. It has a high degree of having an impact. I'm going to do it. And it can be done quickly. Like, I'm going to do it. Or I can go, you know, fucking try to partner with FanDuel, right? And like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And like, even if it did, like,
sure, if it did happen, the impact would be massive, but it's not going to happen. And it's going to take a ton of time to even try to get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, kind of trying to get back to like, putting some numbers around these things. And so like, yeah, long way of saying, I totally feel you. I think having a even just a spreadsheet for this, like, would be like quite helpful. But like, it all starts with you saying, or maybe like you and Matt saying, like, what does the company need? You know? And then like through that lens, all this gets like really clear.
I don't think I'm yet at the spreadsheet part, because I just think there's so much low-hanging fruit where it's just obvious decisions, where it's, okay, do we spend a few weeks fixing these bugs that impact a handful of people and aren't even that big of a deal? Or do we spend that time building something that could blow people out of the water and would actually get more customers? And that's just obvious things. Are you familiar with Constellation Software at all?
Yeah, I know of them, yeah.
Yeah. So it's Mark Leonard runs it. It's was really one of the first private equity plays in the smaller single digit million ARR B2B SaaS company, where roll up's not the right word. They just buy a bunch of these, operate them independently. It's like the Berkshire Hathaway of B2B SaaS. And he writes really good shareholder letters. And I remember one of the things that stuck out to me was when he was talking about development and building out on the product, is that in the companies he purchases, he almost never sees a return on that invested capital in having developers continually build out this product. And those are different spaces, where those are mature companies that are usually going to be in a very niche space. The product's been around for a while and it's a mature platform. Are there things they could keep building? Yes, but if you just keep building them, it doesn't actually change. Like, if you just stop building the product, people won't leave. It's good enough, kind of a thing. And we're not nearly at that spot, but we almost, and I think this is something that it's not just in the bootstrap world, but I think we see it a lot where it's companies that aren't on the venture track, where they're not trying to go for rocket ship growth. I think you can see them just have these really big teams of developers that are constantly doing things, but that don't really matter. And we don't have a big team. And we still sort of fell into that trap of doing things that helped, but we need growth. And these things that they're working on, do we want to have them done? Yes. But will they make a difference? Not really. And so it's just been recentering around that. So one of the big things is rethinking one of our features to just make it 10x more powerful, and to do things that it already is. And I don't want to get into the details here just because it probably won't make sense to people anyways, but it's something that already simplifies people's workflows significantly. and no one else really offers it, but we're just scratching the surface of what we can do there if we spent a month or two going super deep on this. And at that point, it will give us a further, I wouldn't be surprised if other people do try to copy it, but it'll be hard to build. And I think most won't try to. And so even if someone does, it'll take them a good amount of time to catch up. And I think everyone else that isn't going to try will just be further kind of left in the dust a bit there. But I think it's something that really will be more of the product-led growth angle of it's something that people will be talking about. We'll help encourage those conversations, but people will talk about it. It will attract a ton of people to us for that. I think we can charge a good amount for it when we do it this way. And so it's just when I think about this, okay, do we have our devs focus on this or should they keep going through the bug backlog when basically everything that matters is done? And so it's an easy decision, but I'm more just frustrated myself for not thinking, like just getting to that spot where we're just going through the motions on the development side.
I mean, it doesn't sound like you've been there that long, so like I wouldn't be too hard on yourself, you know. But it's good to realize this. I mean, I'll say something controversial. Maybe I think probably everyone we know spends too much time and money and effort on their product. There are companies in our world of like the, you know, bootstrapped or mostly bootstrapped SaaS that have really bad products and are extremely successful, you know, and I don't think it's talked about at all, you know, because like my tendency is like almost always like go build more product because the product is cool and fun and interesting and sexy and all this kind of stuff. We're also making some hiring decisions right now. And like we want to hire another developer, but probably are going to hire another marketing person because one, they pay for themselves directly, like really quickly. Whereas like a developer paying for themselves is really fuzzy math of like, hey, you know, if they build this feature, if we can build, you know, so many features so much quicker than all this kind of stuff. And I mean, I think we've done a good job right now, at least, of saying like in this quarter, we want to do these three things. And if we can do these three things, we think we can be successful in marketing and selling them, because that's the, like, that's the limiting factor. Like, you know, we talk about people, like the limiting factor for companies like ours is like how quickly you can get those people up to speed and contributing. Like if you hire 10 people this month, all of them are just going to sit around, you know, like, but Stripe hiring 1,000 developers this year, like they can get those new developers up to speed and like contributing and like pushing the business forward. But like you and I can't. And I think that product is the same way, that like I kind of only want to build and release product as quickly as we can effectively market those new features. And for us, and I think for most people, that's like one new feature a month. I'd be really surprised if anyone listening to this says they can effectively market a new feature in less than a month.
Right. And I mean, I think to go further, and I don't think you were saying this, but just to clarify, like, to me, it's also just not building features for features' sake. If there are obvious holes in the product, yes, fill those in. That will help. But it's saying, what are the features that we could do that would meaningfully contribute to growth or meaningfully reduce churn? What is that? And that's where I think a ton of companies don't do that. They just build and build and build and keep making things better a little bit, but it doesn't change. It's incremental. And I don't know. I think for us, it's just taking a step back and saying, okay, what can we actually do to further differentiate ourselves from our competitors, but do so in a way that wows the customers, that really attracts the customers? And then also, what are the things that we could build that we could sell? And so part of it is really going deep on that feature that will become an add-on, at least the premium features that come along with it, but also looking at the betting side of our product, which we don't promote. I don't even know if it's on our site. It's just rebuilding that so that we can start selling that, because that's a bigger market. It's something where, okay, if we're trying to get some growth and we don't think we're going to be able to get a significant influx of leads in the middle parts of these seasons, what do we have to do? We have to figure out how to either change that and get more leads, or just sell more to our current customers. And so that it clarifies things, but yeah, now it's figuring out, okay, how do I make sure that we actually can do this, that we don't get distracted by other things. That's the part that I'm almost more concerned about is, yeah, this all sounds great, but when a bunch of things are flying at me, how do I make sure to say, like, sorry, like, just going to ignore all this other stuff?
I'm going to bang the OKR drum, because in that respect, it's been really powerful for us. And like, it doesn't have to be OKRs, but it can be as simple as you come up with kind of what the thing is, like what the strategy is for the month or the quarter or whatever, and tell everyone about it and put it on paper and talk about it all the time. So that when this new idea comes in your mind, or someone else comes to you and says, hey, we should do this new feature, this partnership, or whatever, you can say, like, cool, how does that align with what we said the thing is? And it's been, you know, whatever, it's 3 weeks into the quarter for us, but I've probably had a dozen times just in these 3 weeks that I've been able to say, or people have said to me, which is super helpful, hey, that's crazy, because that doesn't align with our OKRs. And it's, and hopefully at some point, it's not just you saying that, but it's other people saying to each other, you know, hey, that's not in line with, you know, kind of quote with what the thing is for this period of time. I think to me, the question this begs is, and like everyone talks about like working in the business versus working on the business, but like, to me, this begs the question of like, how much more like strategic alignment work should we be doing, and do we not do, and don't realize that we're kind of screwing up. Screwing up's a strong word, but like leaving on the table, right? Like, you realized this, but like, how much other stuff is probably out there that, because you don't take the time, and I certainly don't either, but like, we don't take the time and have the mental space to evaluate how well we're doing with these things, are we kind of like underperforming?
Yeah, no, I think there's a ton of areas where that's the case, where we're just going through the motions, where we're not thinking deliberately about what we're working on, if there's value there. And a lot of it's just easier to go through the motions than to question everything. And for me, it usually does take some oh shit moment of like, ooh, okay, we're okay, but we got to make sure we hit these targets, or I'll have to rethink some things. And fortunately, so far, I've had those oh shit moments frequently enough where it usually can right the ship before things get too far off course. But I would wish it was more of just a regular thing where I could just keep things centered a bit more.
I think that it's like we're, I don't think either of us are there yet, but I think it's why bigger companies have like the 2-day offsite thing for leadership, right? Because it's just like built in at the beginning of every quarter, like, you know, 3 weeks before the end of every quarter, they do this just to get recentered. And I mean, I really liked the process, and it was just me. It was just me. And then I kind of validated it with a few people of like creating our OKRs. But like, I just like, I think I will always say like, okay, 2 weeks before the end of the quarter, I'm going to go away for a day at least and just kind of think about where we are and what the company needs the most, like a single thing. And then everything else rolls up to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just complicating it, where quarterly makes sense. Just do with the quarterly review, pick some goals and communicate those to the team, make sure to work towards them. I just haven't done it on a consistent basis. And maybe for us, it's not financial quarters. It is around the different seasons.
Totally.
For the sports. But I think where I need to, the next step for me is just being more focused within those periods of saying, okay, this is what we're doing. Get everyone aligned on that and just say no to everything else. And I think, yeah, we're entering one of those phases. And so we'll do a call with the other partners tonight, just to get everyone caught up on things, get their input and stuff. And then, yeah, on the all hands on Thursday, just get everyone on the same page about the priorities, and then just make sure that they help me stick to them too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. It's cool enabling or empowering the rest of the team to keep you honest. Like, it's a really reciprocal thing.
This is a little off topic, but do you share revenue numbers with the team?
Yeah. The first team meeting of every month, we give the exact like SaaS metrics breakdown that I give to our investors and advisors. Yeah. revenue churn and all that kind of stuff for the last year and a half, probably.
Okay. When you started doing it, what was the reason?
I think I started doing it around the time Denise started, you know, our first marketing person, because like we would talk about a lot of it, but she never saw revenue stuff. And then there were some other people that I thought should know, you know, how we're doing. I mean, at this point, it's cool because like it ties back to those goals, you know, like especially like we're having a really great month this month. At the end of the month, I'll be able to, you know, first of November, I'll be able to say, hey, this is what happened. And it's because we focused on this thing. We've had some months that are not great and things like churn have been high or whatever. And it just like, I think it gives visibility and lets us give ownership to people more easily.
Have you felt any downsides to it?
But I'm not like super protective. Like basically everyone has access to our Stripe account and stuff like that. So like, it's not a huge stretch. Like they can see, they can see it anyhow.
Let's just talk through it then, I guess. Cause yeah, I'm planning to start sharing that. And I think I just have some of the common concerns around it where it's like, oh, like I don't want people to assume we're just printing money because we do a decent amount in revenue, but yeah, we're not profitable. But I also don't want people to get worried that we're not. And I mean, I don't know, like, I think I can talk myself out of things when it's just treating people like adults, which I end up doing, but I don't know. This is the last part that I'm holding on to that I do think it helps align everyone. And I guess I don't want to go all the way of the buffer of literally everyone knows what everyone else makes, but I think it's still going to be helpful to just give people metrics to look at to so we can track the progress rather than just saying, yeah, we had a great month. I think it would be nice to on that side of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the upside is people can see what their contributions lead to, like in the top or bottom line, not the bottom line, but in the top line for the company, you know, hey, we focused on this thing and then the result was good. And they can see that. It's really clear in our company and that like we operate for growth, you know? So like, we don't want to be a mega profitable company. We are burning money right now. I don't talk about that at all. Like, I think everybody knows that because it should be obvious, but I don't talk about burn rate or, you know, how much runway we have left or anything. Cause that would scare everyone, you know, but I think everything else you can talk about really openly. And it's probably not a huge surprise either. Right? Like your developers know how many customers you have and stuff like that. And they can do the math.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many, I don't know if it is, if they do know that. I think like Matt and Ben do.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so I think, yeah, that'll be I'm saying it now to force my hand. But yeah, so my plan is for the all hands tomorrow is to get clear with everyone on what the priorities are, which is on the marketing side, we're going to be working deeper with partners. And then on the product side, it's going to be revamping one of our main features and just going super deep on it, and then rebuilding the betting side. And
yeah,
here are the numbers, guys.
Yeah, I love it. I love focus, man, because it just makes everything easier. You just say no. Like you literally just say no to everything, you know? Like, hey, this new feature, no. Hey, we want to refactor this, no. You know, like, and the cool thing is it's not no forever. It's no for this quarter. At the end of this quarter, we'll revisit what the next, you know, goal is, and maybe probably that those other things will make the cut then.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what we just need to do. It's a muscle we need to build a bit more, because frankly, we were in a spot for a while where as we were building out our tools, I mean, it's a complex product, but it's really the back end is there's so much data that we're sorting through that there were a ton of issues. And so, and there still are some now, but we just have a better handle on it. But yeah, it just feels like we were at the spot where when things would get reported, oftentimes we would have to drop everything to fix it. And now sometimes those issues do still come up. So really what we're doing, Ben on the back end is taking the lead with, we just pretty much hit pause on everything else and just said, spend a month to get better alerts in place, do some like at this point now there's the alerts are pretty good, and it's more just going into some of our core processes to just clean them up and refactor it a bit to just solve what we found causes most of the issues. Let's get a handle on that, and then at that point It's okay. The things that come up, either we have the tooling in place to easily fix it, or it just doesn't happen that often, but, or it's just not that important. And we just haven't been in that spot where, okay, like, yeah, this just isn't that important anymore. And I've worked with the guys on support to just get a better feel for, like, no, don't spend 3 hours going through full story to figure out what this bug happened. If this is the first time it's reported and you know that the person has a really weird workflow, if it comes up again, do some more digging. But if it's an annoyance for them, probably don't spend that much time on it. If it's stopping them from using it, try to figure out. But worst case, we can just give them a refund. We can apologize and just give them a refund. That's much cheaper than just going down this rabbit hole. Because even if you figure out what the bug is, I'm not going to have the developers fix it when it just impacts one person. But it feels weird to just be like, ah, I know that's broken. We're just not going to, just don't look at it. Yeah.
Don't look over here. Like I would maybe kind of wrap up with a book recommendation for everyone. It's called Radical Focus. It's just a book that's kind of
told. Is that like the OKR book?
Yeah, it's an OKR book, and it's told kind of in a story, like
one minute manager or whatever it is.
No, and then yeah, like 1 minute manager. But I'm thinking of the really popular entrepreneur,
the Toyota book. One or the. Oh, hopefully, man, someone can edit this to clean us a little bit. But is it
No, what's the one like 4-hour work week? But
oh, the E-Myth.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll start all that. I'll leave maybe with a book recommendation. It's called Radical Focus. It's an OKR book, but it's told in story format, kind of like the E-Myth or the 1 minute manager, where like it kind of walks through the, you know, kind of evolution in life of a probably fictitious company and them, you know, pretty much almost going out of business and then, you know, implementing this kind of focus. And whatever, we call it OKRs, but it doesn't really matter what you call it. But it's like taking time to focus, then focus on one thing. And the thing that they talk about and that like I really like the idea of is like momentum after the fact, right? Like they spend this quarter focusing on private podcasting and then we have that momentum that goes forward. And so we can shift our focus to something else. And that's still hopefully going because you have, you know, product and process and stuff in place. But it's a good book and it's an easy read.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I definitely need to dig into this stuff more, but either way, I'm excited to have some of that momentum going on our end and excited to update everyone. But yeah, if anyone has any thoughts, any questions, anything they'd like us to talk about, you can always reach out at podcast@seekingscale.com. Thanks, Craig. It was fun. Thanks everyone for listening.
Awesome stuff, man. Bye, everyone.